This show features adults using adult language. You have been warned.
Well, actually, I need one of you to say it so I have audio for the podcast, because I've done the warning for the last five episodes running, which I don't mind, but if we want to change it up, I need one of you.
This show features adults using adult language like fuck and shit and tits and cock. You have been warned.
Wow.
You want a real one, or is that one okay?
Give me a real one, but I might still use that one. I want the choice. You're listening to Hammercast, the official podcast of the Hammer Gaming community. Hammercast is a weekly news and discussion show about the world of games, smashing buttons, clicking mice, shuffling cards, and rolling dice. Today is Wednesday, June 10th, 2015, and this is episode 17. My name is Dwayne Sibley, and I am joined by your hosts, Mr. Todd Chartier and Mr. Joe Hollis. Good afternoon, guys.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
So, what are you playing?
I've been, like, other than a little bit of WoW, I've been really consumed by Heroes of the Storm lately, which has kind of taken me by surprise.
Okay, so you were, and I'm not even exaggerating here, you were chief in command of the MOBA haters not long ago. And by not long ago, I mean like 17 episodes ago when we started the show. And now, what the fuck happened?
I don't know, but, you know, it happened. I've been playing. I was not really guilted into it, but I was asked to play the other night as a guild thing. And I did. Ishar was a great leader of our team. He led us to victory and I had a good time. And since then, I have played 10 games and I'm 10-1. So me and
the games.
Shut up. And so I'm like 9-1 and fuck you. And so me and ETC, we just go and roll shit and we do a good job. So he came off of the weekly free hero. So I ended up buying him with gold.
Wow.
I had enough. Yep. I've been making bank, man.
Now he's one of the 2,000 gold guys. So he's one of the cheap ones, right?
Right. He was one of the cheap ones. I had like 2,600 gold at the time. And I'm having a lot of fun with him. So, you know, it's nice being a warrior. You're kind of always up there in the action, right up in the front line, and you make bank experience. I mean, I'm doing 200K around easy.
Well, keep in mind also, until yesterday, we were in the middle of an experience bonus holiday for the release week. So expect those numbers to go down.
But only by 25%.
Tonight. Yeah. How about you, Joe? What have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of my WoW alts lately, but besides that, I've been playing around with Universe Sandbox on Steam. It's an older game, but it's kind of fun just to play around with the physics of the universe and see how stuff moves. There's going to be a new one coming out this summer, and they're going to have a lot more physics to it. Like if an asteroid crashes into the planet, it'll recreate what'll happen to the planet depending on the size of the asteroid and stuff, black holes and change the orbit of Mars, for example, and try to terraform it and see if you can sustain a planet. It's interesting.
Oh, look at that. I actually own that game and have spent about 90 minutes playing it. I should try again.
The new one is a lot better. The original one doesn't have a lot of that. It's just balls rotating around stuff.
Ball? What? Never mind. I don't want to know. What you do in your free time is completely your business.
Yep.
Unless it's really fun, in which case you got to let us in on it. Well, some of us.
That didn't really...
You know okay. What? I'm just going to charge right through, pretend that never happened. And
what have you been playing?
I've been playing a little bit of Heroes with the hammer, because it's been the thing we've been getting into in lieu of Raid Nights. I think folks are a little bored with the current World of Warcraft raid content at the moment. And so we've been doing a lot of Heroes of the Storm. We've been doing a bit of Town of Salem. And
And when I am not gaming with the hammer, I am usually sitting in front of my PlayStation 4 and playing Destiny. The new expansion has been great so far. And I came home from running errands on Saturday and decided to just sit down and play Destiny for about 4 hours. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if Bungie rolled out a hotfix or what, but they made it rain on me. Like, I got ridiculous amounts of loot in Destiny on Saturday. My poor Warlock went from 28 to 32 in the space of 4 hours of play. And that was amazing. So I've been having a lot of fun with it lately. And you guys own, there's a PS4 in your house. There's a copy of Destiny in your house. You guys need to join me at some point.
That requires controller.
Well, I know Joe's not as allergic to controllers as you are. And you played Destiny with me at least twice, so I know you can do it.
You know, the problem is, is that it's almost impossible to play in our living room during the day because the game is dark for the most, like lots of areas of the game are dark.
Right.
And it's so bright in our living room that the screen just gets completely washed out. And the fucking sun doesn't go down until like 9:30 here. So by the time the sun goes down, you guys are all long in bed.
So want to buy drapes?
Yeah, I mean, there's one window that's really the biggest problem, and Phil's working on that. But I'm not sure it's going to help enough. But okay. We'll see.
Well, that's fair. So what do you say we head on to the news?
There's news?
Yeah, there's a little bit
of news. Yeah, we don't do the news. No, news isn't our thing.
Okay, well, in that case, let's just talk about My Little Pony.
All right, news. So let's talk about the news, Dwayne Doodle.
So... it sounds as though the staff at Mojang were offered a $300,000 bonus each after Microsoft bought them out in order to stay. So those who stayed got $300,000 and those who left, well, left. So I can see how that wouldn't be a compelling thing for someone like Notch who gets to walk away with $1 billion. But that's interesting. That's a hell of an offer to stick around.
Right. You
know, I still haven't figured out how the hell Microsoft is going to monetize this game enough to pay for that investment. I don't get it. That's a ton of money for anything.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just to put things in perspective, Facebook bought Instagram. Like, Instagram actually has a decent cachet of users and mindshare, and they bought Instagram for $1 billion. So this is
no revenue
and a half.
There either, is there?
There's 2.5 Instagrams in Minecraft.
That's amazing. Amazeballs.
A little bit.
I don't know. We'll see. Go on, Joe.
So I think the thing that everybody's afraid of happening is that they're going to start taking the mods that are out there, incorporating them into the game, selling it as DLC, and disabling mod support. I think that's what a lot of people, that's what their worst case scenario was. When they first heard about Microsoft buying it, I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm trying to think of ways that they are going to try to make it worse for people, like what we would consider worse, but better for them because it makes them more money.
You know, that mod thing, I'm a little torn on it. You know, part of me wants to think, yeah, you know, that's a bad big company, evil thing to do. The other side of me says, you know, if they took over some of these mods and then the mods were better supported and better integration into the game, you know, maybe that could be a win-win for the user base. It'd be bad for the mod developers unless they ended up getting jobs at Microsoft. But, you know, there's probably 20 mods out there, maybe 25 that, you know, those developers probably deserve to work for Mojang. You know, I mean, they've created enough content, enough great content into the game, you know. I don't know. To me, it brought a ton of value into the game. So we'll see.
So speaking of Minecraft mods, Nintendo recently released a game for the Wii U called Splatoon. It's the Nintendo take on the shooter genre, and it's been coming out to rave reviews, despite the fact that Todd is currently retching on the screen. And somebody has made a Minecraft mod that imitates Splatoon inside Microsoft's Gangbusters game. It was created by a guy named Seth Bling, and it follows Splatoon's formula pretty closely. You've got two teams of four players, they're in an arena, and they have to paint as much of it as they can with their team's color using a variety of ink-shooting weapons. This looks kind of neat. I mean, I don't have a Wii U to play Splatoon on, sadly. I just can't justify it, but I'd be willing to give this a try.
Can you shoot other players with paint?
You know, I don't know. I know in the Nintendo game, you can dive into surfaces painted with your own color and then come out someplace else that's painted the same color, which is kind of neat for it. It kind of gives your team crazy mobility tricks that they can pull off. But I have not looked deeply into the Minecraft mod. I saw the headline. I know you guys love Minecraft, so I figured I'd go ahead and throw it in here.
Is one of the colors white? I mean, can I paint my opponent's face white?
It's Minecraft, so maybe you can change the color values. And
I can't
make
imagine
it white
why you'd
one.
Ever want to do that.
Think about it.
Okay. So, the Steam controller is coming.
Steam controller, yeah. I've been, you know, toying with pre-ordering that one. That and the Steam Link TV thing.
Yeah, you can go ahead and pre-order them now via Valve, and they'll be shipping on October 16th. I want to pre-order one of these things because I'm always looking for a nice controller to use with my PC, but I'd want to try this before I spent any money on it, just because the dual trackpad thingies seem very odd to me, and I'd want to make sure I'd like it before I committed to it.
I'm wondering if it would actually be better for my, my terrible thumbs. I don't know. I'm wondering if, that might be easier to use for me. The other thing is, you know, I don't mind pre-ordering stuff, but I'm annoyed with giving them my money now and then letting them sit on it for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can't really figure out if they take my money now or later.
Oh, yeah, like if they only charge you when it ships.
Right. Like, I don't mind them authorizing my credit card and all this kind of stuff, but I have this, like, mental block about giving them my money and me having to pay that bill
and letting
my
them
credit
sit
card
on it.
And let them sit on it for 6 months.
Right.
That just annoys me.
Joe, what do you
so
think
I get
about
that? Make it early access then or something. I don't know.
You can't do early access with hardware.
I don't know.
So we've talked about the controller, like the hardware of it in the past, right?
Yes.
So as for pre-ordering it, I think I'd want to see reviews on it first before buying anything like that.
The early user reviews I've seen are really good. I assume they're probably going to have them at PAX. So we'll get to try them in September, but that'll probably be too late to pre-order at that point and still get them at the October. No, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the other thing is that this is Valve's first time doing physical hardware, and I have no idea what the build quality is going to be. I don't know how quickly these guys are, what the mean time before failure is on the buttons and the switches and what have you. You know, this could be a great controller with a shitty shelf life, and I wouldn't want to get burned by that to the tune of $50.
Yeah, but come on, $50 is not a big investment.
$50 is around the average price of all the other Xbox, PlayStation
controllers. Totally.
But those are proven, and those have been out in the market forever. And I get Dwayne's point, but in the grand scheme of things, $50 is a pretty small investment. I mean, that's like a night at the movies.
True.
For a controller that will last at least, I mean, we have to assume at least 6 months, right? I mean, if you have to buy two a year, you're still talking about such a small investment.
So if the controller turns out to be a complete bust, then it's kind of like getting out of a movie theater from a really terrible movie.
It's like going to see Gigli.
the
worst movie ever made.
Oh, I guess I never saw the worst movie.
What was it? Was it The Room?
I don't know. All I know is that Gigli, at least the last time I looked, Gigli was the worst film ever made, according to Rotten Tomatoes. We'll have to go and double check, or I'm sure someone can go ahead and correct us online. So, in episode 5, We talked about the Video Game Hall of Fame being founded up in New York. And we came up with our own ideas for what should be inducted. And a whole bunch of our listeners submitted some great games that should also, that also deserve to be in the Video Game Hall of Fame. Well, this week or this past week, they inducted their introductory class. And it consists of Pac-Man, Pong, Doom, Tetris, Super Mario Brothers, and World of Warcraft. How do we think about this class?
What were they again? Read them off again.
Pac-Man, Pong, Doom, Tetris, Super Mario Brothers, and World of Warcraft.
That's an odd mix of things. So you have several classic arcade and console games, and then World of Warcraft. I mean, I completely agree that World of Warcraft deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. However, that's an interesting mix. I mean, there's a lot of other games that obviously deserve to be there. I mean, World of Warcraft, it's a juggernaut. There's no doubt that it's making a ton of money and it's insanely popular. People play it. They don't even like the fucking game anymore. You know, it's
they still play.
Right. Exactly. It's become such a huge social thing now that, you know, people just do it. So they're doing stuff with other people. I mean, I know exactly what that's like. So I guess that's a weird combination to me. The others totally deserve it on their merits of being some of the best games ever made and having staying power and all this kind of stuff. And then there's World of Warcraft, which, you know, it's like, I feel the same way about World of Warcraft that I do, they did about Microsoft in the early 2000s. It's like, they're kind of like this necessary evil right now. Like, I don't feel that they're producing amazing content, but they're producing just enough to keep me giving them my $15 because a bunch of my other friends are giving them $15 and we can do stuff together.
Right. Well, the criteria for entry into the hall, which we didn't have way back when we recorded episode 5, is the entry must be a global force. So I guess that means international fame. They must be icons that stand the test of time. So something you would go back and could play today and it would still be good, and have considerable influence on pop culture as a whole. I can definitely see 5 out of these 6 titles, but that could just be because I didn't play an awful lot of Doom when I was younger. I know, Todd, you definitely did, and lots of shooter fans love Doom. It is the granddaddy of the shooter, so...
We were playing that shit on cereal.
Like Frosted Flakes?
Well, yes, like Frosted Flakes.
I remember playing multiplayer, and they got, like, some weird mod support into it, and you could play the first Doom multiplayer.
Let's see, what else do we have here?
I'm kind of sad, though, that Zelda's not on that list.
I'm sure it'll make it in subsequent classes.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, Zelda deserves it more than World of Warcraft does, for Pete's sakes.
Yeah.
I can agree with that.
Yeah. See, to me, putting World of Warcraft on there at this point makes it lose credibility. It's like they did it because Activision sponsored the fucking project or something.
Then where's the rest of Activision's games?
I don't know. It just makes me feel like, you know, it's like you have these other games. Like, yeah. And then,
Warcraft.
I don't know about that.
Like all these games that were around a long time ago and you still
see talk about, right?
Right. And then World of Warcraft, which is still kind of a current thing.
Well, current in that it's still operating, but it also started like over 10 years ago now. And, you know, it turned the MMO into a household thing. Like before World of Warcraft, yeah, you had some big MMOs. You had EQ and you had DAOC and so on. But it was still kind of like a niche genre until World of Warcraft. Suddenly everybody and their mother, literally, and their mother, Joe, were playing MMOs.
Yeah,
I mean, between that and the mass popularity of the genre, using World of Warcraft as a vector now, and the fact that it's been around for a decade plus, I think that merits it entry into the hall. I don't know if that merits first class honors, but It, what's done is done. Nothing we can do about it but play Monday morning quarterback, which is what we're good at here on Hammercast.
It's really what we do best.
You guys were, or we were all talking about Heroes of the Storm earlier, and it sounds like there's going to be a Diablo 3 themed extravaganza of content coming to Blizzard's MOBA. They'll be rolling out new characters, new heroes based on Diablo 3. They just released Johanna the Crusader, and they'll be adding the Butcher as a melee assassin, and there'll be a new map based on the High Heavens and Burning Hells from Act 4 of Diablo 3 called Battlefield of Eternity. This stuff looks really cool. I have no idea when it's coming out, though.
Oh, you know, the only part of that that really interests me is the maps. Like, you know, I like the concept of the game, and I like the different maps I've played on. I'm not even sure if I've played on them all yet or not. You know, they're kind of all a little different, but familiar enough that, you know, you kind of know what's going on. But seeing new stuff like that is always kind of interesting. I haven't played with enough different heroes, and by that I mean any. So I don't really, I'm not into that whole hero swapping scissoring thing yet, but you know, maybe scissoring once thing. Once I do that, we'll get there.
Are you, you're not a Heroes of the Storm swinger?
No, not yet, but I'm sure I'll get there. I was gonna buy Arthas next, I think.
Have you tried him yet?
No, he just looks cool. That's all I care about.
Click the try button. At least make sure it's something you like to use.
Click the try button, but
there's a try button.
There is a try button.
I didn't know that. What does that do?
It so, lets you try. Never mind.
What?
Well, nothing. Specifically, does it let you play an actual game with them, or is it kind of like a shooting range kind of thing?
It's kind of like a shooting range sort of thing. You get to spawn in with the character you've chosen and one AI-controlled ally, and you have a whole bunch of buttons up in the upper right of the screen where you select, like, you can level yourself up and see what happens with different talents. You can spawn waves of enemies to see how you handle being, you know, glomped on by a whole bunch of creeps or enemy heroes. So you have the control to be able to put yourself in certain situations and see how that hero and its tools deal with them.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's not as neat as being able to try a full game with it, but it gives you some flexibility so you can see, okay, will I like using this character when the shit hits the fan and so on. So what do you think of the Diablo 3 map and other stuff coming, Joe?
From what I saw of it, it looked pretty cool. It was that half and half heaven and hell map. And you could play as the Butcher, one of the characters that I saw. I think it looks interesting. I mean, they're not going to be pay-only things, right?
The map will be free. And the Butcher will be available just like standard heroes. He will be part of the free-to-play rotation. Eventually, he will debut at $10 or 15,000 gold. The gold price will drop to 10,000 gold after 2 weeks of availability. And I just read here that both the map and the Butcher will be released at the end of this month on June 30th.
Okay. As long as they weren't doing something like what we're going to talk about later.
Yeah, we'll save that for later. Yeah. So Uwe Boll, or Uwe Boll, or however the hell you pronounce his name, this Uwe Boll is known for making just ridiculously shitty film adaptations of pretty decent video games, to the point where, you know, if you're a film guy and a movies guy or gal, you hear this guy's name and you immediately either cringe or start laughing. He turned to Kickstarter to fund his latest epically bad movie idea and was asking for a paltry $56,000 to make Rampage 3, a film about someone killing a bunch of people. And he couldn't even raise that much money. With 3 days left, he was still at less than 26 grand, and he took to YouTube with a profanity-laced rant about how crowdfunding is dead and his fans suck and so on and so forth. I think he pretty much took a gun and put it right to his career. Did you guys watch this?
No. I watched like the first half of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of F-bombs and pussy this and pussy not that. And he pretty much trashed everybody. He trashed Hollywood. He trashed producers. He trashed actors. I mean, is this guy successful? I mean, he's apparently successful, right?
Well, otherwise, he's pseudo successful. See, the reason he's always been able to get the money to make his films is because in his native Germany, they have this arts program where the government helps pay or helps fit the bill for certain projects. And since he could always get government help with making his films, he could always, you know, cast the people he wanted, get the budgets he needed, so on and so forth. And then he'd end up with shit like In the Name of the King, A Knight's Tale film, or whatever it was, that crappy piece of shit. So he makes movies. These movies keep getting made. And I don't know how well they do at the box office, but the fact that he made like a couple dozen of them over the last two decades means that, you know, somebody keeps giving this idiot money.
And this idiot can't come up with $56,000 of his own money for a movie he's really passionate about? Fuck him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. Joe, have you seen an Uwe Boll movie?
I don't think so.
I'm like angry about this motherfucker.
I think I'm going to go have to find one and watch it until it induces rage, I guess. Well,
now that's your homework. Now you before next week, you have to watch an Uwe Boll. Both of you, since you're, you know, housemates, you need to both watch an Uwe Boll movie and come back to us and tell us how absolutely horrid it was. You have to make sure it's one of the ones based on a video game, because otherwise it's not relevant. We're a video game show.
Okay. Got it.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Do you got weird. Any you feeling recommendations?
Okay, no, I have no recommendations when it comes to Uwe Boll's catalog. You're just going to have to stumble into it and see what happens next. And speaking of what happens next, Master of Orion is coming back from the dead. And
Oh my God.
Joe, you might need to go down and check on Todd in a little bit, because he might be having a stroke.
I can see him. I can see him right now, though. He's right there.
Okay.
No, that's not me.
That's the body double he hired while he's off camera, you know, frothing at the mouth. So,
actually, that's Dwayne I'm poking.
Okay.
It is Dwayne you're poking, even on my screen.
I don't feel anything. So Master of Orion, for those of you who don't know, is one of the first space-based 4X games. And it was amazing. And its sequel was even more amazing. And the third one was complete and utter shit. There's really no other way to put that. Master of Orion 3 was terrible. Like, for those of you who play Civ, imagine if Firaxis came out with Civ 6 and it broke your heart and stomped on your genitals. That was Master of Orion 3.
Wow.
I like my genitals. I'm pretty partial to them.
Well, I mean,
at least no stomping. This is a no stomping on genital zone.
Okay, well, we'll put that
you
on
may
the
not. Do not like.
Well, we'll put that on the album art at some point. This is a no stomping on genitals zone. Hammercast, no
that's
stomping
my Facebook
on genitals.
Thumbs down.
No boner biting.
No boner biting.
thumbs down and fuck off.
Yes, exactly. We need to. Someone needs to make us that image.
Yeah, a logo.
Yep.
That would be
if I had
cool.
any talent at drawing, I would make one, but I don't. Sorry.
Someone's got to have some talent with Photoshop somewhere. That'll be our gift to the community.
Yeah, there you go. We're going to go ahead and link the brief trailer. It doesn't have any gameplay, sadly, so this is probably still in the very early stages. But we'll link the brief trailer for Wargaming.net's new Master of Orion game in the show notes. And you can find our show notes at hammergaming.com/hammercast/17 for episode 17.
I have something to add.
Yes.
I couldn't find any news about Jar Jar this week, so I'm just going to put a funny GIF in the show notes.
Okay.
Funny Jar Jar GIF. Yeah.
That upsets me, Joe.
The only recent news is all talking about the bones in the desert and how Ewoks are probably going to make an appearance.
Okay. Blizzard has waffled on flying in Warlords of Draenor. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about how the current director of the game was saying that they weren't going to add flying to Draenor at any point, and that people should not expect flying to make a return to the game in future content expansions. Well, there was a bit of an outcry, and they caved, in a manner of speaking.
Yeah, I was seeing on Twitter trending was no fly, no sub, and bring flight back or something. But yeah, really? The big one was no fly, no sub was trending on Twitter. Well, I think it was trending. There was a lot of them. I did. I clicked on the no fly, no sub thing, and there were tons, pages and pages and pages of people saying it.
Wow. Well, in patch 6.2, you will be able to gain a new meta achievement called Draenor Pathfinder. It basically requires that you master the outdoors of Draenor, explore all the zones, collect 100 treasures, complete the Lore Master and Securing Draenor achievements, as well as raising the 3 new reputations coming in that patch to Revered. Getting this meta achievement will score you a Rylac mount called the Soaring Sky Terror, and in a small follow-up patch coming after 6.2, any players who have earned the Draenor Pathfinder on at least one of their characters will unlock the ability to fly in Draenor on all of their level 90 plus characters. I am so torn about this, but first let's hear what you guys think. Joe?
I didn't really care either way. I was hoping that they wouldn't just fold on the whole thing that quickly, but they folded on it in like a month. So has it been just a month since they announced that? Been a month?
I'm not even certain. Let's go find out.
I mean, it was definitely something that quote unquote outraged the community. So I'm not surprised that they did it. I would like to see what their if their subscriber numbers were actually starting to go down because of it. I'd be kind of interested to see if that was the case. I don't think they lost. I don't think they could have possibly lost that many subscribers to make them flip that quickly.
Well, to follow up on your question, Joe, we mentioned this on Hammercast 2 episodes ago on episode 15, and the PC Gamer article we linked to in our show notes was dated May 21st. So it hasn't even been 3 weeks. They already caved. Todd, you've been over there making middle fingers at the camera, so I think we know how you feel, but let's hear it.
Blizzard, you spineless motherfuckers. Jesus Christ, these people couldn't stick to a fucking decision they make just because the goddamn community cries out bitching. Now, don't get me wrong. I felt bad for the people who were stupid enough to give Blizzard real money for a flying mount in a virtual game. Besides that, I'm not even going to get into the merits of doing that and how stupid that is because of this type of shit that a game company can do. The point is that Blizzard made a decision for a very good reason, and they've laid out their case really well, and this was the direction they were going to take. And then because everybody started bitching, they say, nope, okay, never mind. We'll just make it really hard. We'll just add more grind to the fucking game. Like, it doesn't already have enough. So, you know what? Thumbs down and fuck off, Blizzard.
Yeah, I am conflicted about this, you know. On one hand, yeah, I know you're not conflicted. Fuck you. I think this is stupid. I think this is weak. You know, I'm glad that they put it behind a really, 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 really big grind wall. But at this point, I mean, you explore all the zones, find all the treasures, uncover all the lore, which basically means you have to find and complete every single quest that is in Draenor. Period. By the time you are able to fly in Draenor, you will have completed the expansion completely on one of your characters. Like, there will be nothing left for you to see outside of raid content on one of your characters. So is it worth going through all of that just to be able to fly? Well, I know it will be for some people, but...
Well, so it depends. Are they going to count the treasures we've already found? Because you can't re-get the treasures.
No, they're going to have to count the treasures you've already found.
Because Haldrith might already be at that point.
Okay.
Because I went and collected every single garrison resource one that you possibly could. I did every single quest that you possibly could, 100% at every single zone. So I think I would just have to get the revered reputations from...
Do you have the Securing Draenor achievement?
Which one is that?
I don't recall. I was hoping you'd know.
I got the Lore Master achievement.
Securing Draenor means that you've completed a whole bunch of assaults. Assault on Iron Siegeworks, assault on Ragnarok, assault on the Ring of Blood.
I think you're muted,
Todd. What are the assaults again?
Are these the...
They're the crystal thing.
Oh, the Apexis Dahlias. The
Apexis Crystals.
Okay.
Oh.
So you have to have completed each and every one of the Apexis Dahlias, which kind of sucks because those are random. So you basically have to just go check every day to see if there's one you haven't done yet.
Across all your characters. You only have to do it once, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But I think this particular achievement is a single character achievement. So it's only worth doing it on one character. Find the character who's done the most of them and then finish it out. Because if you're just duplicating work if you do it on all your characters.
The assaults are when they attack your garrison and you're defending.
No, those are the invasions.
Oh,
are they? Assaults are when you go out and do the Apexis stuff.
I've done most of them. I mean, I've done a lot of them. I can't think of any I haven't done.
Oh, and you can buy the missives. So you could use your garrison resources to purchase this and grind it out yourself.
All right, I'm gonna go grind one out.
Right. So
Moving on.
Now's a good time for me to tell you guys that Hammercast is brought to you by the Hammer Gaming Community. The Hammer is an adults-only group of gamers from across North America and Europe that play all sorts of games together. We've been around since 2007. We originated as an MMO guild, as hence all of this World of Warcraft talk, and we expanded into a full community with our own forum, Minecraft server, and the podcast you're listening to or viewing right now. And you can check us out at hammergaming.com. We're going to go back to Blizzard news here for a bit because there's quite a bit of it this week. Hearthstone is going to be rolling out new heroes for real money. So here comes Blizzard for your wallet again. Hearthstone has, 9 available classes, and each one is tied to a specific character from Warcraft lore. And you'll be able to buy replacements for them, starting with the new warrior, King Magni Bronzebeard. The default warrior in Hearthstone is Garrosh Hellscream, who we've had to deal with in World of Warcraft for quite some time now. But now that he's out of the picture, Blizzard is offering another option, and you will have to pay $9.99 for the privilege of adding Magni Bronzebeard to your warrior stable. This is going to be for real money only. There are no plans to use in-game gold to buy the thing at this time. If it's just going to be a sheer cosmetic thing that doesn't change the gameplay of the warrior any, I'm not sure I see the point. Todd?
I'm not a big Hearthstone player.
Todney Notebeard?
Yeah, that was my bronze beard.
Todney Notebeard.
So Todd's putting a post-it note?
Yellow piece
of sticky paper against his chin, and he looks kind of like a really weird Egyptian pharaoh, and it's odd.
What was the question? Hearthstone.
Paying for new heroes, yes.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. I haven't launched Hearthstone in months. Now, if they introduce some really cool Heroes of the Storm hero, maybe I'd be willing to shell out some cash for that. But I'm just not into Hearthstone. I mean,
Not that I have anything against it. You know, I played collectible card games for years and years and years. So, you know, I enjoy that whole thing until Wizards of the Coast destroyed Magic. Magic the Gathering, that is. You know, I'm just not into it. So whatever, I don't give a shit. If people want to spend their money on that, somewhere down the road, Blizzard will change it so you can't use them anymore and you'll be fucked. Yeah, whatever.
Well, same with your Heroes of the Storm heroes.
Yeah, well, I won't talk about that. Shut up.
Joe?
I don't really like the idea of something. It's cosmetic, though, right?
It doesn't give you an advantage. It's purely cosmetic. It gives you new graphics and it gives you a new voice pack, basically, for the warrior and the warrior ability.
I don't know. $10 isn't a terrible price. Unlike, you know, something else Blizzard has, which is like, what, $30 to change your race?
In World of Warcraft, yeah.
Yeah. It's like they just toggle something. I don't think it's worth $30. So in comparison, $10 for a new, you know, graphics, voice pack and everything isn't a terrible thing.
Considering how many hardcore Hearthstone players there are out there and how many people are just going to jump all over this, I don't think they needed to charge $10. They could have charged $5 and made ridiculous bank on this. I might have bit at $5.
Now they're going to make twice as much ridiculous bank. You don't understand how capitalism works, do you? Well,
they're charging twice as much, and they might lose more than half as many potential customers because of that price hike.
I wouldn't have
just saying for... that's the only thing keeping me from doing it.
I'm thinking that 90% of the people, if they're willing to spend $5, they're willing to spend $10. $10 is like under that threshold of giving a fuck.
Yeah.
I think your give a fuck threshold is significantly lower than the average person there.
I think your give a fuck, it just all depends on what you're interested in. If you were like super into Hearthstone and that's all you did, you know, and that was your game, you wouldn't give a flying shit about $10. I guarantee it. But, you know, for casual players, well, okay, maybe the $5 to $10 makes a bigger difference. Hard to say.
Yeah. I mean, I only play Hearthstone like maybe once a month, so $10 is not worth it for me.
Right. Wouldn't be for me either. I've already played enough Heroes of the Storm to make it worth $10 to me. That's my opinion. I judge everything to going to the movies. So if I can...
Which is fucking expensive as it is.
Right, exactly. So if I can get more than 2 hours of enjoyment out of it for $10, then, you know, that's pretty good.
All right. A little bit more Hearthstone news. They're teasing a new game mode. There's a fourth button on the Hearthstone box that appears when you first log into the game. And there was a tweet sent out 2 days ago by the official Hearthstone account that said, that's new. And it revealed a fourth button with no label on it. And people have been speculating what the hell it's going to be. People are saying it's going to be a tournament mode. Other people are saying some variant on the arena. I know, Todd, you said you don't play a lot of Hearthstone. Joe, you played a bit. What do you think this might be?
So co-op. They said back in March, they said there would never be any co-op. A developer said that. So he was either, you know, putting up the smoke screen kind of thing. Hold on, I can do a smoke screen. Smoke screen. Ah, damn it. Didn't do it well. Anyways.
Yeah, Todd tried to vape a smoke screen and failed.
Yeah, I fucked that shit up. So anyways, a lot of people are thinking it's going to be a tournament mode where you like a whole bunch of people queue up, say they want to be in a tournament, and then it does like a round robin brackety kind of tournament with everybody.
Right.
I think that's kind of neat. You know, it's a good idea. I think co-op would have been cooler, but then again, you know, I'm a big co-op game player, so that would be more important to me. Either way, I still don't give a shit.
Joe?
I was already saying I'd like to see some sort of boss mode thing where, because in their original card game, they let you play as a boss and then other people teamed up against you. So right. I'd like to see more players on one field because the cards already sound like they could affect multiple heroes. Players,
right.
Okay, a boss mode where, I don't know if one person played a boss or a computer played a boss and a bunch of people were against him. That might be a concept that got me to play the game more often.
Yeah, if they took the solo adventure stuff, which has been fantastic so far between Naxxramas and the Black Rock Mountain expansions, if they took that same concept of having one player go up against a ridiculously gimmicky and difficult boss AI, and you expanded it so you and one or two of your friends could team up on an even harder one, that would be pretty awesome. And Todd finally got his smokescreen to work. That was pretty choice, sir.
But yeah, that's what I would like to see the button be. I imagine a tournament is more likely, but yeah. I'd like to see boss fights.
Yeah, multiplayer boss fights would constitute co-op play, and Blizzard's been on record saying that's not going to happen, which kind of stinks. But moving on to the last thing I think that we have dealing with Blizzard, Overwatch, which was the multiplayer shooter that they were teasing, I want to say, was it last BlizzCon? Yeah, it was last BlizzCon last fall, has been quietly releasing gameplay preview videos for the various characters in the game. So far, there appear to be 8 gameplay previews, each one focusing on a particular character and showing a full unedited match from that player's perspective. Some of this stuff looks really great, like Team Fortress 2 on speed. And I know you guys were both into Team Fortress 2, so what do you think, Todd?
I don't know that I'm into the Team Fortress on speed concept. Like, I don't want the game to be faster necessarily. I don't want it to be slower either. I think Team Fortress had a great pace, but maybe I'm just getting old. I don't know. I think some of the stuff there looked good. I think some of it looked a little copycat-ish. I mean, you can almost map one-to-one most of the characters to Team Fortress characters, you know, which obviously means Valve got the model right. But they've added some neat abilities. The graphics, I think, are really cool. I like that style. You know, I'm interested. I am not sure that it would replace Team Fortress for me, and I'm going to go and install Team Fortress now, actually, so that I can play it later.
I was about to ask you, when was the last time you played Team Fortress?
Yeah, no, it's been a while. I actually hadn't thought about it in a while, and I really like the game.
Enjoy your hats.
I used to play it every night before bed. Like, that was my thing. Kill some bitches, come out first or second in matches, and then go to bed feeling good about myself because I made a whole bunch of other people cry. And
you are a bully, sir.
Yeah, in games I sometimes am. Actually, in my last game of Heroes of the Storm, I killed the same person 6 times. They were displeased. Every time they saw me, they ran. It filled my heart.
I like playing Raynor when I played. That was fun.
Oh, no, you won't play with me. So I'm interested to see Overwatch. I'm interested to play Overwatch. I'm going to hold back my judgment of Overwatch until I actually see how it's implemented.
Joe?
I saw some footage on it. It's an interesting idea. I've seen a lot of games recently. There's that Vampire versus Vampire Hunter kind of game that came out.
Mm-hmm.
So the concept is cool. Faster pace is a different market. So you wouldn't get the people who like playing the heavy in Team Fortress where you're walking really slow and shooting.
Well, there are heavy characters. I mean, between right. Winston and Reinhardt, I mean, those guys are definitely the heavy class, and they clearly move slower, can take more hits, they have defensive abilities. So it could be just the fact that the gameplay previews that I saw were for the faster characters. Like, I probably watched Tracer's video 15 times because that was amazing. But we'll see more when they come out with gameplay previews for the bigger, heavier characters.
So you were watching all scout footage, basically.
Yeah, between that and Torbjorn, because Torbjorn is awesome, and I loved Engineers in Team Fortress 2, and he seems...
Oh, is that the little dwarf guy?
Yes.
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool.
Is this going to be another free-to-play?
Yep, free-to-play with microtransactions, just like Hearthstone, just like Heroes of the Storm, because that is how Blizzard makes their money now. That is how everyone makes their money now. So free-to-start.
It's interesting that model works. Well, there's a difference. I mean, I don't feel so far that Heroes of the Storm is free to start. I mean, people tell me that I never have to spend a dime on it.
Right.
Unless I want to change the cosmetic stuff, which, you know, God knows I don't really give a crap about.
This is where I mention I actually bought a $5 skin as my contribution to Blizzard for the fun I've had so far.
And I say that now, you know, I don't know, we can start a pool or a bet to see how much money I've spent by next Wednesday. Because who knows what it could be.
Yeah. Okay, I guess we can say that the free-to-start games are the ones that, what do you call it? The free-to-start games are the ones that kind of time-gate you. Like, you have X amount of lives to give you to play with, and then once you run out of lives, you have to wait an hour to be able to play again, or you can give us money and play now. And those are definitely the free-to-start model. There's a Penny Arcade comic that I have to share with you about these free-to-play games. We'll go ahead and link it to show notes as well, but this is what I think of when you say that you might have spent a significant amount of money by this time next week. So I'll let you go ahead and look at that.
Oh, is this the one about...
It's about League of Legends.
Oh, no, not the one I was thinking of. He did another one about the miniatures, didn't he?
Oh, those things.
Why can't I remember them? Fucking game right now? You know, the ones that you put War on Machine. The little base. No, the base. The video game one.
Skylanders?
Yeah. Didn't he do one on Skylanders or the Disney Infinity one?
Yeah, where it's
was
like...
Was it him that was doing a comic series on
each
that?
And every one of them? Yes,
exactly. Got to collect them all.
Gotta catch them all. Gotta catch them all.
Yeah, right. Oh, this is an old comic. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, 2011.
Well, wow. I would have thought it was older. But anyways. Yep.
XCOM 2, which was announced last week, will be PC exclusive. Unlike the first XCOM game, there will be no console ports. And the reason why, says Firaxis, is that they intend to fully and heavily embrace the modding scene. They want XCOM 2 to be a game that you play for fucking ever. That's not a quote. I just made that up. And in order to facilitate that, they want to make sure people can mod it to their heart's content. That sounds kind of cool. I mean, I played XCOM predominantly on PC, so this is not exactly breaking my heart, although I do wish they would add gamepad support at launch, because XCOM had really good gamepad support for a tactical turn-based game. What are you two doing over there? They're having some sort of shenanigans on camera.
I'm shaking a bottle of homemade e-juice, and I look up at the camera, and Joe is just shaking. And it looked very, very different from what I was doing.
Oh my.
I didn't have the cap screwed in all the way when I did that.
So now you've got e-juice all over your room.
No, just it was kind of on, but it leaked out when I tipped it upside down.
It leaked out when you touched it? That happens sometimes.
Okay. EA has announced, after people caught them filing for a trademark in the European Union, they have announced that the next Mirror's Edge game will be called Mirror's Edge Catalyst. Did either of you play the first Mirror's Edge game? Because it was awesome.
A little bit. I didn't get too far. It wasn't what I was expecting when I was
You playing. Would like it, Joe. You need to plug in a gamepad and get it done.
What was the playstyle?
It was, okay. You cannot play this game, Todd, because it is a parkour action game.
Mm-hmm.
You are running across rooftops and through skyscrapers, trying to stay one step ahead of the cops while you deliver important packages and unravel this weird political mystery going on in the city that you're in. So,
speaking of parkour games I can't play, Line Freeze... or Ishar, he started his Assassin's Creed YouTube series, which I started watching.
I watched the first episode of that yesterday, last night.
Yeah,
I watched it on the TV in the living room the other day.
Did you?
Yep.
They're also doing Borderlands as a co-op playthrough with Ishar and Kalisandra. So we'll go ahead and link to those in the show notes.
But Mirror's Edge, the thing I had the biggest problem with was I was expecting kind of an open world game where you're able to parkour around the town and they gave you directions on where to go. And then you had to make it from point A to point B, parkouring how you want. But it was a very on rails parkour game. You had one direction you were allowed to go, a certain way to do it. And if you didn't immediately go and go fast, then you get killed by the guys chasing you.
The first few levels are like that, and that's definitely what turned me off to the game at first. But if you stick with it and get into like the middle third of the game, because it's actually a very short game, but if you get into the middle third of the game, it opens up and it's far less restricting. And that's where the game just kind of has room to breathe. And it's really, really fun. I suggest you give it another try. Last up for today, we've got this really cool website I stumbled across just because I back game developer Zoe Quinn on Patreon. And so I get emails whenever she releases something before everybody else can find out about it. And she's making this great site called Games Are For Everyone. And it's about making games and how to get into the game industry and making sure that when you do make your games, they can be distributed and that they can be accessible to people with various disabilities or various backgrounds and so on and so forth. And it's just this kind of cool all-in-one resource for making games and being a game creator. I think this is pretty cool. Did you guys get a chance to look at it at all?
I've only had a chance to look at it a little bit. It's really a neat website. I haven't gone through a lot of the links and information that she has on the site. I mean, it's kind of neat. It's, you know, if you're into that sort of thing, I mean, I think everybody has this, every real, you know, someone who, you know, is a gamer at heart always thinks, oh man, if I can only make my own game, that'd be great. You know, and I think this helps for that. I think after, you know, my years of experience working with high school kids making video games, one thing we have learned is it's a lot more fucking difficult than it appears, you know, in every aspect. So, you know, I think it's good that somebody put all this together for people who are really passionate about trying to build a video game. Mm-hmm.
Joe, did you get a chance to take a look at all?
Yeah, they've got some really cool resources on here. I'll have to take a closer look at it later. I didn't have a ton of time to look at all the links today. There was a lot of stuff to
a lot of news to cover. Sadly, we're not going to get to it all today, but we'll go ahead and link the things that we have mentioned in the show notes. Again, you can find those at hammergaming.com/hammercast/17. That'll be it for this week. Thank you, guys, and thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We're at Hammer Gaming on Twitter. Follow us, and you can get updates on when new episodes are available, as well as other news from the Hammer Gaming community. Feel free to send us your questions, your comments, your feedback, and make sure that you use the hashtag HammerCast so we can pick your comments out of the noise. So, Todd, how can people find you online?
On Twitter, I'm Dregger, Dregg0R. Tweet me often. I say that. I say I reply all the time, but I don't even have my tweet deck open today.
And Joe, where can people find you?
DazikLP, DazikLP.
And that's also on YouTube. You can find our video version of the podcast on Dazik's channel. I am Valthonis. That's Valthonis on Twitter. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thumbs up and fuck on.
Eat a bag of dicks, sir.
Done and done. Right up the street, actually.
Wow. They just have you street walking now.
No, we have the Dick's Burger Joint.
Oh, right.
Going to get a bag of dicks is a real thing here.
You can go eat a bag of dicks.